William Langevisha is the author of the book The Outlaw Sea, A World of Freedom, Chaos, and Crime. He says these Somali pirates are a very rough breed.
They're used to fighting and handling weapons. They are used to the sea. They typically are fishermen, at least generationally, and they're familiar with the environment of conflict and of the sea. These guys have a lot of courage in a way, and it's an amazing athletic feat, and they're willing to take the risk in order to have very comfortable lives, not only for themselves, but for their families or their clans on shore.
When you say it's a physical feat, what do you mean?
Climbing the side of a ship like that, getting onto it is difficult. This is not a small ship, so you don't just sort of step onto it. You have to, typically they use ladders or they use lines with grappling hooks, and they scamper up the side of these enormous machines, which are operating presumably at full speed at that time in the ocean.
What happens once a pirate boards a ship?
Well, typically they assemble the crew in their quarters on the bridge or somewhere convenient at gunpoint, and they make them behave. They just say, basically, sit down, give us what money you have. And they, in the case of Somalia, they head the ship to the nearest Somalian shore or a Somalian shore where they are safe from other Somalians. So they take them to their enclaves, their pirates' lairs, so to speak.
And then what?
And then they negotiate with the owners of the ship. And what they find is that the owners of the ship are willing to pay, and the payment transactions are actually quite complex. But in the end, the pirates typically walk away with a significant amount of money, anywhere from $500,000 to, you know, a couple of million dollars in cash. I also know that they're quite specific as to the type of cash. They prefer U.S. dollars to euros. They want certain years. They're very concerned about counterfeit dollars and so forth. They're not unsophisticated people.
If we're to compare this kind of crime on the high seas with the kind of crime that we might get, in any major city anywhere, would you consider it more like a mugging or like a longer-term kidnapping?
I guess it's somewhere in between the two. It's very similar, however, to street crime. However, it's less dangerous. I mean, we know, especially in the case of Somalia, that these are actually sort of gentle pirates. I mean, there have been few casualties. They're not inclined to hurt or kill people. They simply want money. Now, in other parts of the world, it's different. In Southeast Asia, the piracy there tends to be more violent, much more dangerous. The pirates, for whatever reason there, often kill people.
Which parts of Southeast Asia?
Specifically the Straits of Malacca. The South China Sea is a hot zone, and on either side of basically of Thailand and Vietnam.
And again, the pirates would be looking for money or some kind of cargo?
There, they tend to look for the cargo. They take the ship in the extreme cases. They take the entire ship. They put the crew, either they kill the crew and throw them into the sea, or they put them into lifeboats, and they depart with the entire ship, which they then sell on the in the sort of the black markets of Asia. And then they may use the ship to actually run a legitimate shipping company for a while, or steal a new cargo loaded voluntarily onto their ship and then disappear with that.
I wonder to what extent you would find that sometimes the ship that's held captive, is the crew is made up of smugglers. Or is it ever the case where the pirates and the so-called victims are somehow in cahoots?
I know that there are some cases where pirates will put people on board the ships in advance. In fact, maybe sometimes the entire pirate crew will board the ship and then simply reveal themselves. For the most part, I don't think that the pirates and the crews are in cahoots. But of course, this question of smuggling is very real. I mean, we know that in most cases in Somalia, for instance, the ships that have been taken over the past few years were engaged in questionable activities by official standards. In other words, it's not just the smuggling of weapons. It may be the smuggling of people, narcotics, also simply dumping of toxic wastes. There are plenty of operators in the world who, in order to save money in this very competitive world of shipping, will go to a place like Somalia to do their dirty work. And we know that in many cases, the ships in Somalia were engaged in things like that.
Take a broader perspective for us here, William, if you can, in terms of who the people are who operate these ships.
Well, of course, that's where it gets interesting. I mean, if you look at the shipping business as a whole, you find an industry which has long long liberated itself from the constraints of law and nationality, in which flags of convenience are the standard, in which crews come from all over the place, multiple languages spoken aboard, and so forth. It's driven by financial concerns, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. It is certainly very efficient from the point of view of the global economy to have a shipping or transport industry that has done this. It comes with certain costs, risks to the crew especially, and to some extent to the environment. But you're talking about an industry which has radically liberated itself from the pettiness of the passport and the pettiness of national laws. So if the cheap movement of goods is important, is good, then we can celebrate the liberation of these shipping companies from all of the constraints that come with following the law of various countries. But if you are concerned about, you know, the worst cases of environmental disaster that can be linked to this, then maybe you're appalled by it and you wish that the world would be a more orderly place and that people would obey national governments and that national governments would have the ability to enforce laws. That probably is wishful thinking.
William Lungavisha is the international correspondent for Vanity Fair magazine. His 2004 book was called The Outlaw Sea, A World of Freedom, Chaos, and Crime. Nice to speak with you.